This episode of A Few Things with Claire and Erica is brought to you by Bed Bath & Beyond. Hit them up at bedbathandbeyond.com or go to one of their many stores.
Welcome to A Few Things with Claire and Erica.
I'm Erica.
I'm Claire. And this is our podcast where we talk about just a few things that we love.
Not all 10 of the things that we include in our weekly newsletter that you should sign up for on ofakind.com.
Best newsletter around.
Ugh, for sure.
For sure the best newsletter around. We talk about 10 things that we discovered that week that we want you to know about. It is available for signing up.
It is free with no purchase. But while you're on the site signing up for the newsletter, you should feel free to purchase all of the amazing pieces that we have. We commission designers in the emerging designers in the fashion and home space to create limited edition pieces that we sell on the site. And we release them with stories about the designers, everything from like studio tours to recipes to cool things you need to know.
We released some real bomb jewelry lately that I'm pretty obsessed with.
I know.
With.
I'm wearing a lot. I'm wearing this.
You
I'm
are wearing a lot of it. Wait a
165 bracelet with has dangly. I'm shaking it, so I'm sure
you're
everyone can see it.
You're very on brand right now. You're wearing two things that have been like basically specially requested by you, which are dainty, very dainty jewelry, because that's your thing.
Correct.
So we've got some dainty jewelry on the site. Go check it out.
If you like the same jewelry as me, you will be all set.
If you like dainty jewelry, you can find the daintiest there.
So today, yes. This is the Fibers episode of A Few Things. I hope it, I can't promise it'll be the last Fibers episode because I feel like Fibers are a thing for us.
Sponsored by DuPont.
Claire's parents work for DuPont, so true. That's why that sponsor that's where that unpaid sponsorship came from.
So we are talking about two really fibrous topics: knitting and
let's keep them.
The first one's knitting.
Who knows what the second one is? Who even knows?
It'll be a big surprise.
Okay. Knitting.
Huge topic in our lives. Huge, huge money suck in both our lives.
The amount of money we spend on yarn is atrocious. Any like financial planner we would ever have would be like, what is this category of spend? Oh, that's just alpaca yarn. Got it.
I actually think like a huge key to picking up knitting as a hobby is just deciding you're not going to focus on how much the things you're making actually cost, because cheaper to buy at a store. Like all of them. It's insane. My mother's a really like exceptionally talented knitter, and people always joke. They're like, Why, or not even joke. They're serious. They're like, why don't you sell your mom's stuff on the site? And it's like, because
we don't sell $1,000 sweaters.
Exactly. It would cost $1,000
with markup. With her markup.
With like half point markup.
Yeah. It would cost time.
Yeah. Right. Well, can't even start to bring that into consideration.
So we've been wanting to talk about this for a while because we're both pretty way into it anyway. But then the New York Times ran an article recently that was talking about the health benefits of knitting, which that's like pretty compelling.
I like how in our notes here it says New York Times article in parentheses, Erica printed. Erica loved this article so much she printed it out.
I gave you a copy too. I printed it yesterday specifically for us. But okay, so it says that a third of women age 25 to 35 now knit or crochet, which seems really high to me.
It's a huge amount, but also I do it's kind of
does that
shocking.
Feel real? I'm questioning the data.
It wouldn't, but then when you do start like looking around or also talking to people about it, a lot of other women do it. Or like I brought my knitting to a girl hangout recently, and a friend of mine was like, who I know hadn't knit any time recently, was like, can I try, because she knew how to knit when she was younger, and she started doing it, and she was like, remembered it all immediately. It was like riding a bicycle, and immediately became obsessed with it and was like, now I need to do this all the time too.
That's interesting. So
I think it's one of those things where like if you aren't doing it now, you might have known when you were younger, and so you can sort of pick it up and dabble in it.
So if you're part of the 65% who is not knitting or crocheting, apparently the repetitive action of needlework can induce a relaxed state that is associated with meditation or yoga.
100%.
We fully like are on board with
this.
We
knew before the New York Times told us.
Totally. But I think that is like exactly the appeal for me. It's that you get out of your head and you have to just focus on that repetitive action, and it's kind of lulling.
Well, so I would say it's like two things. One, there's the meditative aspect of just focusing on the action of knitting, or there's like or it's so easy to do that you can actually focus on something else other than knitting, which I think is also key, because for me,
because you can't watch TV very well.
For me, yes, the game changer was if I'm watching TV, they mention something, they mention like Rodarte, and I'm like, what was Rodarte's most recent collection like? And all of a sudden I'm on Google, and then I'm on style.com, and then I'm like looking at something else completely, and I have no idea what happened in the television show. And so having the knitting in my hand stops me from just getting involved in anything else. My mother, who I mentioned is also an avid knitter, swears by it as a conference call tool, which I think is huge, because everybody knows when you're on a conference call, you're actually checking your email if you're near your computer.
And like, TBH, conference calls just feel wildly unproductive, and if you're knitting, at least you feel like you're doing something.
Totally.
Like you got something done during that hour of your life.
So I would argue that knitting is either like the thing you focus on to tune everything out, or the thing that you don't focus on so you can like tune in something else.
Completely. And something else we've talked about is that because your hands are busy, you can't look at your phone.
Yes.
Which is...
I always say, like, knitting and running are the two times where it's impossible to look at my phone, which is great.
Those
are my hobbies.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so how do you actually get into it? I am obsessed with the Pearl Soho knitting kits. Pearl Soho is a store in Soho that we both spend a large percentage of our knitting budgets at, and they have really good kits. They have a little hat and hand warmers one that I like. Mm-hmm. They're both basically just making rectangles and then creating a hat and hand warmers from them, so it's not as hard as it seems. They also have a scarf one that I got my mom for her birthday. She just finished it.
Hey, great work,
she just has to, cast off, and she's going to get some help with that, but that's it.
There's a great YouTube video. I'll send it to her.
She's going to go to the local knitting store by her house and have them help her, which, P.S., is something that knitting
do. Yeah, this is something magical about knitting stores, and I find it's better in stores that not... Like, I haven't found a lot of great stores in New York that do this as well, because New York is so busy and crowded, but... LA is run amok with knitting stores, and they are like half knitting stores, half just like sort of therapy groups where all these women come and gather and sit and knit and ask the women who work there for help.
Completely.
And they will, they'll fix all of your knitting problems for you.
But if you do want to go to the internet, YouTube has lots of answers, as does Wool and the Gang, which is another cool knitting company that sells
kits.
They
have a lot of kits. Yeah.
They also have videos on their site for just about anything you might encounter. If you're like, oh, shit, I skipped a stitch and I don't understand what just happened.
The other the knitting stores in L.A., there are a ton of them, but I love L'Atelier, which, as you know, it has a great tagline, where dreams are knit. And they
that is insane.
That is like the women of my family's knitting support group. There's also Jennifer Knits in Brentwood. There's Compato in Brentwood. There's so many knitting stores in LA, and I finally figured out why, because when I was reading this interview with
in New York Magazine,
what's the actress
Kristen Ritter,
who's in Jessica Jones, which I love,
and in Veronica Mars, which I love also.
And she says that she picked up knitting on the set of Mona Lisa Smile because before smartphones, the thing that actresses would do in between takes was knit because there was nothing else to do.
Which
and so
is
she
amazing.
Picked it up from Jennifer Roberts. Wait,
Julia Roberts. And Jennifer Roberts.
Totally. It's been a long day.
Yeah, totally.
I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Movie star Jennifer Roberts.
I was like, it doesn't sound right.
But I'm going with it.
Look, like, help me here. But yeah, so that's my theory as to why there's so many knitting stores in LA, because pre-smartphones, it was the actress's hobby.
Totally. In LA, in New York, in addition to Pearl, P-U-R-L, like Knit and Pearl, there's Loopy Mango. Claire got me knitting supplies for a massive blanket from Loopy Mango for my birthday last year.
Side note, I think one of the best starter projects for knitting are blankets because they are just giant squares.
Yeah.
And also,
it's pretty hard to screw up.
It's pretty hard to screw up. And if you're at the age where all of your friends are having babies, it's just the sweetest gift to give your friend of like, here, I made this thing that I hope your child warms themselves with.
We both made our niece's blankets. Claire's made her friends and her baby's blankets. I'm making my nephew a blanket, but I'm like really behind.
Well, the other thing that I will say that I love about knitting a blanket is it's a chance for you to get kind of creative because you can put as many different colored stripes in as you want really simply.
And with like a scarf or a hat or something, you're probably not going to go there.
Exactly. And unless you're super talented with sweaters and stuff, you can't put as much of your own creative vision into it. But with a blanket, you can actually like at least
guide that.
Color or whatever.
Speaking of creative knits, another line we should shout out is Knit Collage.
Yes. Love Knit Collage.
It's amazing. It is this line that this amazing woman, Amy, spins her own yarn.
Yeah.
With these like
it's literally like a collage. It's like a collage of yarn. It's got all sorts of stuff in it.
So there are sometimes like little sparkly filaments in them, or little like flowers. And I feel like it's very good for if you're making like a not to be gender stereotyping here, but if you're making like a little girl like a hat or something, it's like a way to like jazz that stuff up. For sure. So check that out. And if you need more guides and don't want a kit, Brit & Co. has an online knitting class for $19, which feels like a steal. Or if you want a free one, Bluebird blog, BLEU, has a knitting 101, like a 3-part series with Camellia Fiber company founder who teaches you how to make a neck warmer, so you can follow along. That. Yeah.
Do you have any favorite yarns?
I don't think I'm like there yet, but I just bought some alpaca yarn randomly. Some baby, or not some alpaca, sorry, baby llama.
Whoa.
Baby llama. Well,
I'm like, is there a difference between a llama and alpaca?
Well, okay.
Can we get an expert in?
So apparently when I bought the baby llama yarn from this alpaca store, I went specifically to an alpaca store. the guy said that baby llamas only are baby llamas for like one shearing. And then that's the only time they're sheared. And they're like, fluff is turned into yarn, so that's like there's only like one shot,
extra
so
special.
There's not that much baby llama yarn.
A very rare strain.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he also said that that's pretty much the end of them being cute.
Rude, actually.
Yeah, he had a lot of thoughts on llamas.
That's really funny. I've read and heard from experts that if you're knitting a baby blanket, it's best to use cotton because babies can be like allergic to animal
fibers
yeah. basically. But there's one yarn that I really like for baby blankets that is a wool. It's Cascade Superwash Sport. That is like
sport.
It's sporty.
So sporty. Okay.
It's sporty. And it is good for baby blankets because I guess whatever process they put it through, it's not going to hurt the baby's skin. But it also is washable wool and it doesn't unravel at all. It's not got fuzzies coming off of it. I find it super,
super easy. I think that's
the
thing with babies too. You have to worry about
the fuzzies
shedding.
Coming off. I find it really easy to knit with and I like it. It comes in every color under the sun.
If you're looking for inspiration, you should follow a few of-a-kind designers on Instagram. Annie Larson.
Ugh.
Deegan,
huge.
Cordle.
These people are killing it in the knit game.
Hans Starnes. We'll link to all of this on our recap. Ryan de Bonneville and Aporta. And we just discovered via the Clover newsletter, which you should very, very much sign up for, the Notorious, like KNIT. You know we're going to like this already.
So Notorious.
So Notorious. The Tori Spelling Show. it is a Tumblr from this chick Carson Meyer, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's
and
a it's really like good. Very, it's a really good.
It's like Vogue covers you know, knit things on them, and then things she's pulled off the internet. So it's real good.
Makes you want to knit.
And then the last thing I wanted to say on this front, back to the health and wellness thing that we started with.
Tell me,
I haven't read this book, but there's a book called Knit for Health and Wellness.
What?
That is all about the like how good this is for you. So if you really want to feel good about yourself,
I always do.
Maybe just know that that book exists.
I'm just going to write that down somewhere. Knitting for Health and Wellness.
Yep, that's your new hashtag.
That's great.
Let's cut to commercial.
Let's do it.
So we've been shopping at Bed Bath & Beyond for a gazillion years, just like everybody else out there. At least as recently as college, which is when I can remember because I remember running into my crush and his mom in the parking lot of Bed Bath & Beyond while we were both shopping for college things. But I think I've been shopping there even before then. It's good stuff.
It's a classic.
It is a classic.
But now that of-a-kind is part of the Bed Bath & Beyond family, Bed Bath & Beyonce, as we are trying to rebrand it.
Why not, though? It's a good one.
I feel like
Beyonce would be fine with it.
Totally.
She wouldn't ask for money at all.
Mm-mm. We've gotten to spend a lot more time exploring all of the crazy impressive products that the store carries, and we've honed in some of the greatest hit, the sort of timeless, classic, pretty stuff that we want filling our cabinets and our closets.
If you're not heading there for Japanese knives, for the Le Creuset Dutch ovens, for the Miele vacuums, for the Freta bedding, what are you doing?
What are you
doing? Get over there. They have all that stuff.
Yes. Get your butt to a store, stat.
And sign up for their newsletter, stat, because guess what? You get a 20% off coupon for a single item. Boom.
All right, and we are back. This is A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We just finished talking about knitting.
And we told you this was going to be a fibers episode, and I cut Claire off when she tried to tell us what the second topic was purposely.
And people have been listened and endured that segment on knitting only because so they could find out.
I know how listeners work. Yeah, I totally get into the mindset of a listener.
You're a podcast expert these days.
So now we're talking tampons.
The other fiber in all our lives.
Totally.
The other womanly fiber.
We are here with the founders of Lola, Jordana Kerr. No, I asked you how to pronounce it and then I said it wrong. Jordana Kerr. Jesus. And Alex Friedman. Hi, guys. Sorry.
Hi, guys. I am so excited you're here. Ugh, I'm real into this company.
Why, if people don't know what Lola is, first of all, they're dummies, but second of all, can you tell them?
Yeah, of course. So
they're like, one of us.
Usually we have,
I don't know.
Usually we have ESP, but that was, we just missed a step.
Yeah.
So Lola is a new feminine care brand. It's completely online. It's a subscription and it's 100% cotton tampons in a plastic applicator that's BPA free and it's compact and you can customize your subscription. You can pick the quantity of boxes and you can pick your delivery cadence and it arrives right at your door whenever you need it.
Oh, I love it.
So good.
I get so excited when innovative things happen in women-oriented businesses because I always say, like, everything from, like, feminine care to, which is the worst name, but I don't have a better
one. It's not ideal.
Yeah. Feminine care to birth control to hair removal. Like, there's just, it's all so far back
from where it's ready for some shaking up.
And these women are, like, bringing us to where we're supposed to be with this stuff, which is awesome.
Thank you.
So how'd you get into tampons?
Yeah.
Great question. So the idea really started more as a delivery concept. It was, you know, I think you just mentioned the idea of like running to the store, picking up your tampons, your birth control, your hair, you know, ingrown hair removal stuff. It's just everything that sucks and is embarrassing, and you know you're going to run into a guy at the checkout. Mm-hmm. And so that was really where the idea started as a delivery concept. But the more we
is so obvious for tampons because
super
it's like,
hello, it happens on a pretty regular schedule. That's kind
like
of
the most
point.
Recurring thing that ever happens.
Definitely need it once a month.
Right. So the more research that we did into the industry, the more we realized that we actually had no idea what was even in the products that we had been using.
This wowed me when you guys launched that. It tell me if this is right, that tampon companies are not required to list ingredients on the box?
They're not. The FDA does not. It's insane.
This thing could not be further up inside of us.
It's the most intimate product.
Right.
It's the most intimate product.
It's insane.
Food and Drug Administration is like, we only worry about the mouth.
We only worry what goes through you. You're just shoving it up inside of you.
Possibly be concerned with these things. Okay.
It's bananas, really you guys.
It's bananas.
So what is in all the other tampons? Do you guys know?
We've done a little testing. The crazy thing is that, you know, you can test one batch, but because these companies don't have to tell you exactly what's in it, and because cotton and other synthetic fibers are, you know, the prices are fluctuating all the time, the components, you know, the breakdown is different.
Wait, so you're like, telling me that
when the price of rayon goes down, it might be in your tampons that, like, month.
More so. So my tampons aren't the same from month,
right.
Box
so it says ingredients may contain, so they're protecting themselves against having to disclose or having
and having the same like contents same every time.
My God, have you guys called Dateline about this? This is the biggest scandal.
No, we came to you.
This is insane.
We're breaking
this is the
exclusive.
This is it.
That's holy. That is so fascinating and so scary.
It really was. I mean, it was. I think. Well, so first, Alex and I were like, okay, this is insane, and. Are we the only two people who care about this? No. And
yeah,
so
yes.
Then it was like, okay, let's just bring together as many groups of women that we can find and talk about this. And it was really the first time that most women had, you know, stepped away from this behavior that happens every single month and thought twice about it. You know, not just the behavior and the fact that these brands had been kind of advertising to them the same way that they had been since they were 12, but also this idea about ingredients and that they had never thought about this before.
When you talked about the advertising thing, it reminded me of this really funny story that I read about how it was really groundbreaking and controversial the first time a menstrual pad company ran an ad that showed the blood as actually red rather than just blue liquid on a menstrual pad.
Yeah.
And it was like, and everybody was like by this.
Up in arms.
Yeah. Which is what? Insane.
It's blue. It has to be blue. That's what color it is.
I mean, when you talk about like thinking about, you know, your tampon and thinking about why you do it and how you do it and all of that, the thing that I always think of is this moment that I'll never forget reading Jane Magazine, RIP, which when the editor-in-chief, Jane Pratt, talked in the editor's letter about getting toxic shock syndrome from, well, you don't even really know what from, right? She's just like, I left my tampon in and then I basically, like, my body just shut down and she had this really bad infection, had to go to the hospital, and it can have really enduring sort of impact.
I mean, you can die from toxic shock. Yeah.
And it's terrifying. It's this thing that nobody knows a lot about and you kind of have a vague sense that it's like maybe, like, it happens if you leave your tampon in maybe too long, but it feels really shrouded in a lot of mystery. And that was like, I don't know, 15 years ago. And then more recently, I think almost like around the time you guys launched, Vice published this article about a model who had to have her leg amputated because from toxic shock syndrome. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why do we not know anything about this? And what is it? Do you guys know more than I'm offering up about it?
Claire's like, what is toxic shock syndrome for reals?
Yeah.
I mean, so the reason we started the brand was that we didn't feel like we could make smart decisions in the absence of information. Mm-hmm. And, you know, toxic shock syndrome can happen to men and women.
Okay.
And it, you know, can be caused by a lot of different things, and it's essentially a staph infection.
Okay.
The thing that we care the most about is knowing what's in the products you're using and using them the right way.
Okay.
And you can avoid dangers in general by knowing that your products are natural, knowing what the ingredients are made of, and having people actually have a real healthy conversation about these topics and not having them be too taboo to discuss. The fact that that's even a mystery is a problem.
So weird.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
Okay, so when you decided we have to make our own tampons, how do you go about that process?
Great question. Knit them.
You knit them.
Yes. In LA.
Yeah. She went to Pearl and she was like, give me your whitest cotton.
Pure cotton.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, just going with that. Yeah.
They're really special. We just started to look at every single box, you know, dive into the depths of Google, you know, call as many people that we knew who were in manufacturing, in fabrics, in knits. I mean, just really wanted to understand kind of who the players were, and ended up finding a wonderful partner in Europe that has been manufacturing feminine care products for many years. Mm-hmm. And they have they worked with us and were excited to have this cotton tampon with a plastic applicator, which we feel like is the best first product for us. And, you know, most American women prefer plastic. And this was the best of both worlds.
Here's a question. Do most American women prefer an applicator, period?
Most American women,
Right. Non-applicator products are more prevalent in Europe.
Okay. They're like women more willing to get their hands dirty.
Yeah.
Over.
Exactly. I mean,
I'll go on record as I'm a non-applicator
Same.
Person.
It took me a long time to get there, but right. It was just like, they're also so much smaller.
They're super small. They are convenient
so small.
To travel
and
with them.
The applicator always
totally.
Falls off. This hasn't happened with your product, I will say, but it drives me insane when the applicator
When you have like an applicator in your bag.
I feel like, are tampons a thing like detergent where it's like you just use whatever your mom used?
It's a lot of it is like what you were kind of given when you were 12 or 13.
So
totally.
Okay.
We've had a lot of focus groups with women, and either your mom hands you something or one of your friends at camp hands you something. And really, it is kind of not a proactive decision that you make.
Oh, my God.
Really?
There's a lot of tampon pushers. I told my mom I wanted to use.
Tampon pushers.
No, totally. So I told my mom when I got my period, I was like, I want to use a pad. And she was like, no, that's gross.
That's,
use a
tampon. That's my story, too.
She was like, my mom was like, just like toughen up and use a Frio tampon. Like,
find your
it's
vagina.
So gross to sit and
get in there.
My
no,
mom was
100%.
My mom was totally fine with it, but my friend Bridget was like, she wanted to go swimming with me one day, and she basically sat outside her bathroom door for a half an hour and was like, "You're using
just
a tampon.
Keep pushing.
Like, figure it out because we're going swimming."
We heard so many stories of women who were like, "I was 12. I was at camp. Everybody was, you know, behind the bathroom door yelling at me to put it in."
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
I bet Most first-hand pawn usage occurs during the summer, probably.
Totally.
You guys, I'm this so, so jealous yeah. of that process, that part of your process.
Wait, it's really what else have you learned?
Most fun.
What yeah. else have you learned from focus groups? This is amazing.
Too much.
Yeah, the juiciest. So yeah. weird.
That's amazing. I really want to know about how you thought about packaging and branding, because it's so on point, and it's so hard to create a brand that feels like chic and modern and high end, and also that it can speak to such a wide variety of customer. And you can't build a tampon business that's only targeting like super chic fashionable women. So how I assume. So how did you think about that?
Yeah, we wanted it to be just very clean and simple, mm-hmm. To fit in with the aesthetic in your bathroom, to be a product that you were proud to take out of the box and put on your shelf and didn't mm-hmm. feel like you had to shove under the sink with all of your other, you know, decades of tampon boxes where right. they lived, and really be something that you would tell your friends about and be proud to own. And so we, you know, we went with very simple and cool blues as our brand color, mm-hmm. And named the business a beautiful name, Lola.
Yeah, how did you come up with the name?
We have a few stories for how we came up with the name.
You're workshopping it still.
We're definitely workshopped a fair bit, but to us, Lola is a woman who is smart and informed and fun and funny, and it just felt like a name that stuck with the aesthetic and the vibe that we were going for.
Do you have a lot of gifting of Lola subscriptions happening? Because I want to gift it to my cousin, who's 13. But oh,
great idea.
And I'm sure she'd be thrilled that I'm talking about her period on the radio.
She's so psyched.
I feel like
right
that's
now.
Exactly what she wants.
But it's all
like
over Snapchat all
I
of a
feel
sudden.
Like that's the perfect thing to like for that girl who's like, I don't want to like have to talk to my parents about this all the time.
Totally.
But, and not that I'm even embarrassed about it, but like, why do I have to eat? Why can't this just be my thing?
Right.
Yeah.
Why can't the package just like come to me in the mail?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do see a lot of signing up on behalf of your kids or your mm-hmm. cousin or your daughter who's at college. We don't have a formal gifting program yet, so people just have to sign up on behalf of someone else.
I like that.
But we do see a lot of that.
That's interesting.
The other thing I feel like, speaking about the actual like service that you offer, you allow people to basically make each box a mix of like light and heavy or super heavy or whatever it is, which mm-hmm. is awesome. So you can really personalize it and make it just convenient to your own life, which I love.
Yeah, women, I mean, the three big kind of brand values that we feel like we're bringing to the table and is, you know, a simpler product with 100% cotton, a better brand that's really speaking to you like your best friend would speak mm-hmm. to you, and the convenience aspect. So the idea that you can customize the box, mm-hmm. you're not running to the store and looking for that, you know, half regular half super box and
that's never there
and it's like then you like have too many regulars left over and you're like I just like need more supers
or you
know like
never yeah. find lights
right yeah. never find lights
yeah
it definitely so each of those has resonated with women on different levels, but we're really excited to be able to provide kind of all of those three things in one little package.
And do you ship internationally?
We don't, we're just continental US for right now.
Okay, but you're going to take over the world.
That's the idea.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, the vision is to be a feminine care brand that can offer any type of product for your reproductive kind
love
of needs.
This.
So
I love it. I hope you guys get so fucking rich. I hope you make so much money doing
we
this.
We talk a lot about Tampon Island. You guys are totally invited. You're invited.
I love it.
You're totally invited.
Ugh.
That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you in advance.
We'll bring non-applicator tampons.
We'll fly our private jet there.
That's great. We'll fly Tampon Air.
We haven't thought of that.
Yeah. Tampon Force One.
periods are kind of having a moment in general. There are a couple of different startups that are like period-centric, like Diva Cup, or not even startups, just companies.
Yeah.
Diva Cup, Thinks, Dear Kate.
Yes.
Why do you think periods are so hot right now?
I mean, we're just excited that it's happening and that people are talking about it. We think that probably, you know, the early folks that started talking about it, it spurred other conversations and other company ideas. We're seeing other things pop up now. So we're just super psyched about it.
It's good that people are talking.
Yeah.
Totally.
Guys, I changed the name of your private jet. Air Force Tampon has a better ring to
it.
That's
so good.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Air Force Tampon.
Tampon. Tampon.
Yes. Yes.
Air Force Tampon.
Let's get the applause traffic.
On that note, after we name this private jet, thank you both so much for coming on.
Thanks for doing what you do. I really think it is so awesome, and I hope it is so successful. And I can personally vouch for these tampons. They are great. The applicator doesn't fall out in your purse and like go all over the place. They're wonderful tampons.
Thank you.
I feel
people
great about
subscribe.
Them. Yes, subscribe. Make your life easier.
You've been listening to A Few Things with Claire and Erica. We are here every Wednesday at Heritage Radio Network at 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
But you know where we are on like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week?
Tell me.
www.ofakind.com.
No.
Best shopping site on the whole dang internet.
While you're there, sign up for our newsletter so you can get our 10 things picks every Monday, except if there's a holiday, then we do it on Wednesdays. disclaimer. Follow us on iTunes or Stitcher. Leave comments.
Leave us a comment.
We texted one morning recently back and forth, or Snapchatted
about the comments. Modern women, we Snapchat
about the comments that people were leaving on iTunes because they were so nice.
Oh my gosh, choking up about it.
Yeah, it was so nice. So
I'm still convinced at least two of them were my mom, but I'm fine with that.
It doesn't seem like she'd be creating two different usernames.
I don't know.
Like, all right, everybody.
All right,
that's the show.
Bye.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.